the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. In, I am, is masculine plural. We don't say cherubims, we say cherubim. We don't say seraphims, we say seraphim. It's already plural. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke, that it was filled with the visible presence of the Shekinah glory of God. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, not Uzziah, but the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go. And tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them, when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Many years ago, in my recollection is 45 years ago now, I was young. I had just returned from my first year in Bible school. I was very idealistic. I thought I was extremely spiritual compared to other Christians. I returned to my home church. The deacons had run the pastor off. There was another man in the pulpit. One of those deacons was my father. The first time I ever took a public stand was against my own father as a Christian. I loved that pastor. I was converted under his ministry. There was wrong on both sides. Now there was another pastor there, and he wanted to give the returning Bible student the pulpit on a Wednesday night. I prayed. What can a young man, 23 years of age, do in a church? Try to bring them some truth. Try to tell them that they weren't spiritual. Drag them over the coals. Do things in our own strength. So I said, I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. a stranger, a fire, and a smoke-filled room. It sounded like a Western movie. And I waxed eloquent. A stranger, Joshua, met the captain of the Lord's host. Take off your shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy. Joshua needed that experience before they combated Jericho. A fire, Moses at the burning bush. Take thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And with Isaiah, a smoke-filled room. And now, 45 years later, I'm dealing with the same subject again, this time hopefully not filled with pride, certainly not trying to guide and direct other people and telling everyone in this congregation how sinful and wicked you are and how you need to get a sense of the holiness of God. I'm just here as an old man now, far removed from being 23 years of age. I'll be 69 this December. I've seen a lot, experienced a lot, and had a tremendous amount of bitter disappointments in my Christian experience. But I want to make a few comments and then close this morning's service. In the year that King Uzziah died, King Uzziah was the sun king of Judah. He reigned longer than any other king. For most of that time, he was a leper, and his son ruled in his stead. This was a shaking time for Israel. This was a time of transition and unsettledness. Whatever is going to be done, and what will Isaiah do because he's God's prophet? He holds a strategic place within the government. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. No matter what happens in human government, God is enthroned. He is the one who rules. High and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. So Isaiah is where he ought to be. He is in the temple of the Lord. He is in an act of worship, and he has a vision of God. When we come to God's house, we need a consciousness and a vision of God. And above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. These mysterious beings, angelic beings, powerful beings, seem to have throughout Scripture, their sole work is to praise God constantly. They had six wings. Two wings covered their faces. Two wings covered their feet, and they only used two of their wings to fly. What can we learn from the seraphim? That worship is twice as necessary as service, and what service we have should be sanctified by a proper attitude toward God. Unsanctified service is the first step in apostasy. And we see it today in churches with contemporary music, with entertainment, and the loss of gospel preaching. With two wings, they covered their faces before God. With two wings, they covered their feet, and they used only two wings to fly. Worship, much more important, a proper attitude in our service. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." Yahweh Tzabaoth. the Lord Sabaoth, we would say in English. What is Sabaoth? It's the Lord of the heavenly armies. It's the Lord of hosts. King Uzziah was dead. What will the next king be like? What will happen to the country? They're in a state of apostasy, and it's going to get worse until they are taken away into Babylonian captivity. And there's a prophet there, and he has to prophesy against the people. God's going to raise up Isaiah and give him an impossible ministry. But these are saying the whole earth is full of his glory, and nobody could see it at the time. And the posts of the door moved. There was somewhat of an earthquake there. At the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the glow of Shekinah glory. And what was the effect upon Isaiah? He didn't strike up the worship band and get out the electric guitars and the drums and the tambourines. He said, woe is me. If that should happen in churches today, it would be the great harbinger of revival. Because revival will not come, has never come apart from an overpowering sense of the glory and the holiness of God. Until people say, woe is me, and they begin to pray and seek the face of God. And they won't take no for an answer until God is pleased to do something within society. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone. As good as dead. Utter corruption. Destroyed, I believe is the Hebrew word there. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Why? Why this great, awesome disposition has overcome him? For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, the real King, the true King. What did Job say? Dust and ashes. I have heard thee after the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee, wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. A great missionary text, a great text to preach upon when you want young men to give themselves for the ministry. But very few consider God's commission to Isaiah. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. The prophet is raised up in a time of apostasy, and he's told what ministry he will have. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without an inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet it shall be a tent, and it shall return. Eventually a remnant will return, and God's purpose will not fail. Everything begins with a vision of the glory and the power of God. Isaiah needed to know that when the king was dead, the Lord still reigned and ruled. And the host of heaven said, "The earth is full of his glory." He needed to come to the realization that he was as good as destroyed in the presence of this holy God, and that he needed to be changed. The holiness of God magnifies, as we saw in the last hour, our own utter unworthiness and unholiness. He had that vision, and it was life transforming. He cried out, "Woe is me, for am I undone? A man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." He saw the Lord in all of his glory. He was cleansed, and he was given an impossible commission. And the only fruit he would see would be in the far distant future. And of course, Isaiah would not live to see it. Every day of your life and mine, do you live it in anticipation that someday things will change? Other than death. Other than death that will end this earthly existence and usher us into the presence of God, something has to change. There will be a time when prayers must be answered. God is a God of purpose and order. He moves by His Holy Spirit through His Word. We pray, we cry out to Him for the conversion of our family, for the success of the gospel. Do you live every day in anticipation that things will change and one day God will move in His holy power? We should. A vision of the greatness and the power and the glory of God should give us hope when everything else seems to be fading away. There is only one power that can staunch the wickedness of man at its source, and that is a power that can change and transform the individual human heart. That is the power of God's saving grace. Salvation glorifies God more than anything else. It is at the center of His redemptive and creative purpose. We should pray until God answers and we see a moving of God, even in our day. Eschatology of evangelical Christianity is that we are living in a day of apostasy and there's no hope for this world. So what do Christians do today? Once a week they gather into church buildings, they tune up the electric guitars, they do religious calisthenics, they feel good, and then they go home. That's never going to win the day for the cause of Christ. But for men and women to pray and seek the face of God and know that He rules and reigns over all things and beseech Him that He would look upon this nation, upon this people. A true Christian world and life view is intensely practical. It means living by God's grace according to God's Word, future, present, and past. Father, we pray that You would bless us this day. Glorify Yourself among us. We pray once again for those who are unconverted. Lord, manifest Yourself to them. Take away that utter, horrible fear and dread, and replace it with an intense desire to be reconciled to the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord God, manifest Yourself to these as a loving and welcoming God. Come and welcome to Jesus Christ. O Lord God, work in our families and among the people of this congregation and beyond. Bring glory to Yourself in the conversion of men and women, and begin even here a moving of Your grace and Your Spirit. We commit all of this to You in Jesus' name. Amen.
May the Lord dismiss us in the context of His truth.
And with His blessing, I could not enter into the message this morning. The prayer seemed to conclude everything. I just made some comments. I trust they will bear good fruit. The Lord will meet with us again this afternoon for the preaching of His word. May we have good fellowship at the table in blessing. May God make this a glorious day. Amen.